So, Kyle brought this topic up called, and when he asked it, he was like, "Well, what are we supposed to do when we're not specifically on a program?" And we both, when we sat down to discuss this, were like, "Well, there is really no time when you shouldn't be on a program of some type. You're maybe not program, but you shouldn't have a plan of some type."
You should
So
always have a plan of
you should always
some
have a
type.
plan, but sometimes your goalpost is going to shift from getting stronger or building muscle or improving body composition towards something else. Especially since you probably got into strength training to improve your performance for maybe some type of other physical pursuit. Got into strength training to be a better runner, better skier, better, better at sports, just making sure strength's not limiting you. Or big common one is like people are doing jujitsu, people, especially with like Zuckerberg doing his thing. Everybody's wanting to do jujitsu and all that stuff. So what are we supposed to do when our goalpost shifts from strength being the focus and we can't take as much time on that to focusing on another pursuit? So, Kyle, let's start off.
Yeah, so I think we both took the perspective of what can you do to maintain what you've built up, but do the what's that term you had for it? Minimum do effective dose, you essentially said.
Minimum effective dose.
Yeah, so what would be the minimum effective dosage needed to keep everything that you've built up so you don't lose it all? And I think we had a sort of similar perspective towards this where you're cutting down volume quite a bit. So whatever you used to do in the past when it comes to programming, you would do your main compound lift, and then you'll do your supplementals that supplement the compound, and then you'll do accessories to, put the whole thing together. You'd essentially just cut that all down to just the main compound on its own, and maybe you'd want to hit some supplementals on the side. So from my perspective, when I want to pick up something else, I don't really do this often, but when I did, I would cut down all the volume on all my accessories. I would literally not do any accessories just because I find it boring myself. And then I would just do some supplemental work, such as lat pull downs from time to time, rows from time to time, but mainly just stick with the main compounds. So the compound lifts of your bench, squat, deadlift, those stay intact. Everything else can go. And then I think we talked about also the intensity, and this is where Sam and I may differ a little bit when it comes to the nuances of how you would program the compound lifts for when you're on maintenance. I would just keep intensity high but keep volume relatively low, and we agreed on that part. But I would usually just do one top set of five, and then just do a little bit of volume work for the last two sets, three sets. So work your way up to that top set. Make sure the intensity is really high, so you're at least still stimulating your muscles, right? And then once you hit that point, then you can back down, do two sets, three sets of eight or whatever, and just do the rest of volume just to make sure that you're maintaining mass.
Yeah. I think let's just start with what would be like a bare minimum from like a needs perspective when it comes to still training. And like what I would do if I had zero time to train and I needed to fit it in like a 20-minute increment, maybe 3 or 4 times a week, is I would just work up to the heaviest set of five that I could do on each lift through the week. And that's it. That would probably be, and maybe I would ascend up to it. So like ascending sets of five, because then you're actually like, you're limiting your intensity a little bit, but you're able to like build up some volume on the way up too. So like, and it would go really, really fast. So like if I had to have, say Tess here popped out triplets in the next year, and I was like just trying to run a business and raise triplets, and but I still needed to lift. It'd be like, I'm just going to do each lift once a week, ascend up to a set of five. And it's not like you would make a lot of gains that way, but you probably wouldn't falter that much from like where your peaks are. So it'd be an interesting thing. But, you know, one thing that we were talking about earlier too was like, if you don't have a program or a plan, you know, and you just want to like go in and do what you feel like, because you're like, oh, I'm so busy now, I can't follow a structured program. But when you go into the gym, you're just going to do the stuff you want to do, like chest and shoulders, right? You're going to get a big bicep pump. But so that's why I think it's really important to remember the principles of why we even do like the compound movements in the first place. So if you're ever feeling like you're about to falter on your program, you can be like, well, I can work my entire body from a systematic standpoint with these main compound barbell movements. So I'm at least, it may not be like I'm isolating my biceps or my deltoids with my bench and my press, or I'm not isolating my quads for the maximum hypertrophies, but you're at least working everything when you're doing those compound lifts. So it's always, I feel like we always come back to those when it comes to lifting, but if you can just distill it down and do as much as you can with that over the course of 2 or 3 days each week, if you have to shift towards it. So, you know, it's something that's kind of hard to reiterate with clients. I feel like when their life is getting busy and stuff, it's like, hey, it's okay for you to just come in here. Instead of doing the three main lifts, we'll just do two so you can get on out of here. Anyway, that's kind of where I'm at on this.
It's got me thinking about how would you program to make the laziest program ever? And I was just thinking about that point. Like what exercises would you hit that would still maximize or still keep you in shape, keep your strength levels semi-high while doing the least amount possible? And now I'm thinking like maybe you want to do incline bench press because you'll hit the shoulders and the chest at the same time. Like
you could, yeah,
you know like what you I
could,
mean?
You could squat, incline bench, deadlift,
yep,
and then maybe do like some chin-ups.
Yeah, chin-ups. I wouldn't even do rows.
Nah, you probably don't need to do rows if you're
you probably don't, because you're doing chin-ups. At least you're doing deadlifts as well, so you're kind of compensating for the rows. But now we're just thinking really stupidly. Right. Like this is not something we would really do.
Yeah. And we're also forgetting like the problem with the incline bench is it's like the shitty middle ground between the press and the
bench. Yeah.
Because the bench, you can handle heavier loads. And then the press, you got the longest kinetic chain of all the biggest of all the main lifts. So you're also working your entire body when you're overhead pressing. Whereas your limit on load with the incline, since it is the incline bench, you're not using the muscle mass as effectively as you are in a bench press. So it's like, you know, maybe it would just be squats, bench press, or there's an argument for this is no bench press and it's just squat, press, deadlift, chins. I think there's an argument for that. Squats, your hip hinge.
Yep.
Your vertical press, vertical pull.
Yeah, you're missing the horizontal, but to be honest.
Deadlift, right? Like those back muscles are working in pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, squats and deadlifts are not technically, but they cover so much of your body that those two movements is all you need for lower. Yeah, exactly. So you're good on that. And then your only argument there is your horizontal push and your vertical push.
Yeah.
And like and vertical pull as well, because you might want to work the biceps. Yeah. And you got the chin-ups.
So it's kind of like, the shit always comes down to just go back to the basics when you know, if you're trying to do this like crazy machine-based hypertrophy plan, how do you say, I just joke and say,
you hypertrophy. Say hypertrophy.
Hypertrophies, the hyper dash trophies, but the hypertrophy.
Yep.
You know, like where it's a ton of machine based isolating each body part and everything. It would be pretty difficult to do that in any amount of time. But you know, if you walk out into your garage and you got a garage gym set up it's not too hard to just bang out a couple sets of heavy squats, bang out some chins,
yeah,
back in and do whatever it is that you need to be doing, or go run or whatever. And I think it was actually funny. I was just right before the podcast, I was rolling in jujitsu class, and there's a couple guys in there that it was funny that you texted me this, and this I was excited to explain, but they obviously know that I own a gym in town and, you know, lift and everything. So they were kind of talking like, yeah, ever since I started jujitsu, they both have been doing it for like a little over a year or so. The two guys that I was talking about, like, they were like, yeah, I lifted before. And then I started jujitsu and I kind of stopped lifting because I was doing so much with jujitsu and I couldn't fit it all in. But then so like, now I'm trying to work back into it, blah, blah, blah. But now they're like, they're a lot better at jujitsu. But then in the weight room now, they were telling me like, now I'm weaker.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, if you could prioritize maintaining the strength that you had before starting whatever it is you're doing. So like, maybe you want to, some assholes get a wild hair and decide they want to go run a marathon. And it's like, well, okay, how much strength can you keep when you are preparing for the marathon during that time? Without putting like a ton of resources into it. So if you know you're squatting 405 and you're 6 months out from your marathon, well, when you're done with your marathon, can you still squat 405? And like, you can do that very minimally. It doesn't always have to be this crazy ass high volume program that's beating you up. In fact, there's almost an argument that for regular people, this is just how they should train anyway. Almost like it's not a priority and they need to do the important few things. So it's kind of a lesson, you know, anybody that both me and you are in like a unique situation where, you know, we don't have
to care more. We care more about lifting. We have no response. You have a lot of responsibilities, but
but mine's in the gym. So it's like, I don't have a problem lifting cause I'm there all the time. Right. Like, you know, but once you start wrapping in like jobs, kids, and all of that, then it's like you need to be able to just prioritize those things. So, and like that's where the cool part, like, why are we doing the main barbell lifts in the first place? We've discussed this before on the podcast, right? You can load them incrementally, you can do natural movement patterns, you can load them heavy, they utilize the muscles, you know, through their most optimal ranges of motion. So you can lift the most weight, so you can get strong. We've literally spent the podcast discussing this up to this. So it's like, if you can keep those in mind and just keep it simple when your goalpost shifts to something else, that's kind of what we do. You know, I just had a client that had a newborn, and that's what I told him during it. It was like, hey man, like you have every excuse now to say, hey Sam, I need to cancel my account and shut it down. And because I just had my kid, and then I'll get back to you when in blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, you have every excuse to do that. Like, and I understand, but this is a good time for you to like, for us to prioritize a few different things. So we were doing that same type of split that I was talking about with him, a bunch of accessory work. And I said, hey, for the first month after this baby's born, he has a home gym. So it was like, we're just going to just get in. We're going to do some high intensity stuff, not a whole lot of volume, very little accessory work. And you're going to get in there 4 days a week or 3 days a week. And he didn't miss a session on it, you know? Whereas like, if people don't have that plan, or it's almost like there's an all or nothing type thing.
That's how humans think, right? If you can't do it all, you're just going to skip.
Yeah. Like, oh, I can't commit to my full program.
Yep.
I'm just not going to do it because it's not worth it. And you know, there's even an argument where it's like, really all I should do is go out to my garage and do one heavy set of five on my bench today.
Yeah. It's literally like, one exercise, maybe like, two exercises.
You should. That is exactly what you should be doing, you know? So just being able to shift it to giving yourself permission to do the least amount possible to still maintain your gains. And who knows, you'll probably make some gains along the way.
Right. Yeah. And I think the really important thing here is also to say that even though you're not on a program, you should still have a plan.
Yeah.
Right. And even though I think a lot of the time when you're looking for a program, when you're even looking on Google and maybe you're searching up programs, and I know Reddit has a bunch of programs that are free on Excel spreadsheets and whatnot, you'll see these programs with a ton of volume where you'll probably be in the gym for an hour 15 at the minimum. And you will rarely find programs that, aside from starting strength, that are very minimal, to the point, minimum effective dose, and get you in and out as quickly as possible while making the most gains possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's where this conversation is really healthy to have, that may not be said often, because I don't think many people will see that this is also a potential option they can take. They might think it's that all or nothing mentality of either I have to go into the gym at minimum 3 times per week, an hour 15 plus in workouts every time. Or maybe you can look at it with a mindset of, okay, I'll just get in the gym the same amount of times, 3 times, 4 times a week. But these sessions are now only maybe half an hour long, 45 minutes max. And in that time, you can bang out 2 exercises. And those exercises would be everything you needed to maintain the strength that you have gained up until this point.
Yeah. And okay, so we've established that there's like, what you need to do is accept that you can do less and be okay, right? But you still need to have a plan when the priority is shifted. But there's also a skill component to this within your workout, on being able to get a lot done in a small amount of time. For example, let's use like the starting strength program for an example, because I'm a zealot, but you have your squat, you have your press, and you have your deadlift, right? And after a while on starting strength, it's a bitch. Like, it gets heavy, and you got to take rest periods, and you got to like, it goes from being like 40 minutes long to like an hour and a half.
Yeah, because you're resting at least 3 minutes every set. At least. Minimum
3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So what... that doesn't work, right? Like, for a while, you can't have, you know, again, assholes like us who have as much time as we want to train, for the most part, can do it. And, but when you've got, you know, 45-year-old guy with, you know, a bunch of teenage kids that need driven around, and like, he's running a business and all this stuff, you got to be able to get him in and out. So you can do that whole plan. Just being able to structure your workouts is really effective. And if you have a home gym, that's great. So what you can do is, like, you walk in, you start warming up your squats. As your squats are getting to your working weight, start warming up your bench during your bench press during your squat working set rest periods. So you hit your first set of, you hit your last warm-up set in the squat, go over to the bench and start warming up your bench, and then hit your first working set. Have we discussed this before on the podcast?
We have not. This is a very interesting take that I've actually never heard of before.
So once you get onto your first work, get your first working set of your squats done, then you're again hitting your next warm-ups for your bench, right? And then maybe after your second working set of the squats, you do your first working set of the bench, and then you do your last working set of the squat, and then you do another working set on the bench. Now, once you have one more left on the bench, so then you start warming up your deadlift between your bench sets, right? And then bang, now your last bench, by the time your last bench set is done, then you'll have warmed up to maybe your last warm-up set on the deadlift. You hit your last warm-up set, rest a couple minutes, hit your working set on the deadlift, bang, you're out of there. So you took what was like 30 minutes each and distill that down into like 45 minutes or an hour. And, you know, 'cause you're just sitting there between sets on your phone or whatever it is, waiting for that time period. So you might as well be doing your light sets, because it's not like your light warm-up bench is going to affect your squat sets. So that's something that I do a lot with clients in the gym, and it's something I do a lot myself. It's like if I'm doing my, you know, my light squats before my heavy deadlifts, I will start warming up pretty much like almost both at the same time. And I warm up my squats as I'm warming up my deadlifts. And then I'll hit my first working set on my squats about the time I'm hitting my second to last deadlift set. Once I hit my last squat set, I rest a little bit, bang, hit my working deadlift set. And I can do a squat and deadlift session in like 30, 35 minutes. Bang. You know what I'm saying? So without like it impacting performance at all, as opposed to sitting there between your sets forever and doing that. So I think maybe the word for this is like, I'm trying to figure out the word for,
it's kind of like a superset in a way.
Yeah. It's like a superset, but it's not. Would you like to call this like training economy? Like, is that, would that be a way of saying it? Like training session. I'm trying to come up with the right word for that. It's like efficiency. It's efficiency.
You're just really trying to be more efficient with your time. Yeah. I guess you could, training economy as in trying to save time where you can. So
yeah, something like that. Yeah. So it's like, okay, so here's the situation. It's Friday and you have to go to Friday jiu-jitsu class and you get off work and you're staring down the barrel of squat, bench, deadlift, right? And jiu-jitsu class is at 6:30. You get off at 5 and you're like, there's no way I can lift before I go. I don't have enough time. If you do them all separate the way it's like intended, written out, of course you don't have time, but you can get in there and burn through all three in a pretty quick amount of time if you do it right. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a science and it takes almost some practice, but like I'll have my squat bench, my squat deadlift workout planned, and I'll like set a 35 minute timer and be like, I have to be done with my last deadlift set by the time this happens. And it actually leads to some pretty good training sessions. You're not overly fatigued. You worked, you felt like you got in there, you were able to hit your numbers and everything. So, and you can do that with any type of program.
Yeah, you really can. I think the closest thing I've done that for is probably supersetting push-ups and pull-ups, push-ups and chin-ups. That's probably the closest thing, because in 10, 15 minutes, you can get a crazy pump, but also hit a bunch of reps just by doing that. So what I do is literally for every 20 push-ups, I do 10 pull-ups. Yeah. And you're just constantly rotating that. And you set a timer for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. I set 10 because by the time you get to like the 7 minute mark, that is brutal. You're going to be wiped out.
Yeah.
But you essentially just rotate 20 push-ups. After you've done your push-ups, get on the pull-up bar, 10 pull-ups. I'm pretty sure somebody in CrossFit's probably done that before. Pretty sure a bunch of people have ran that superset before, but it's a really simple thing. You can still maintain a lot of muscle mass. Obviously, it's not targeted towards the strength stuff that we talk about with bench, squat, deadlift, but it's a similar approach, right? You're trying to save time while you're warming up for squats. Well, it's kind of the same way, kind of different, but we're just talking about training efficiency, training economy, saving time and whatnot.
And something else that you can do that I've been doing recently is maybe I've got some rows, maybe I've got some like upper back work or some shoulder work on the same day as my squats or on the same day as my deadlifts. Well, it's like, I'll do my chest supported dumbbell rows as I'm warming up my main lift.
Yep.
So if I'm squatting, right, I'll just do my chest supported rows sets between some of my warm-up sets, or maybe even between working sets. Like, you probably shouldn't, if you're like really grinding away on like a starting strength LP, you probably shouldn't do that. You should be sitting on your ass. But like, if you're a regular person who just needs to get in and out,
yeah,
you can do that too. And it almost like shifts the priority, because there was a lot of times where I was just like, you get done with your main lifts and then you're gassed out and you're like, I don't even want to do my accessory work. So you just kind of like bring it up to the front. Obviously, like, don't burn your triceps out before you bench press, But like you can do your tricep extensions or, you know, your skull crushers as you're warming up your squats or your deadlifts.
Yep.
And, you know, you can do your upper back work. You can do face pulls between deadlift sets. You can do face pulls between squat sets. You can do your lat pull downs prior to squat sets. Something that's actually kind of nice is doing your lat pulls before your bench.
Warms the
shoulders up and does it and stuff. And it doesn't really take away from it. It's all about just being as efficient as possible.
And I think from that, I've done a few things like that. Nothing to the extent where you're talking about the squat, bench, deadlift, kind of when you're hitting the main sets for one, start warming up for the other. Mm-hmm. But what you do realize is that your cardiovascular system just, it starts to improve, right?
Yeah.
Your ability to push through all that exercise gets better because you're just going one through the other. Your GPP, we talk about it a few times, starts improving because you are doing so much. And in the end, that will probably help in other areas of your life, which isn't really talked about. And I think to your point of if you're going to go through an actual LP of starting strength while you're doing that, it's probably not optimal. But I actually think that kind of a counter argument here that over a longer period of time, that's going to help you even more because you end up getting used to it. And I think once you build that, what would you call it? That to get used to it, once you start building that, I can't think of the word at the moment, but like, it'll just become easy and that becomes the norm. And it'll be easier to put on more strength onto that because you've essentially like naturalized yourself to that type of training.
Yeah.
So it just feels normal compared to if you do give yourself that big load of break in between of every set, in between every set. That's just a thought there. But I do know some people that have trained with the mentality that if I go one after the other on every lift, super GPP focused, superset everything, yes, they're tired in the short term, but over a longer period of time, they start building that cardiovascular health. And at the same time, 2 months down the line, their strength starts to come back and they're able to do all those exercises in that supersetted fashion because they've worked on that aspect as well.
You know, and it's kind of like just knowing what you're trying to accomplish too. Maybe if you're like peaking for a powerlifting meet, my method is not what you wanted. That's not what you want to do. Right. But for the average Joe Blow, who's just trying to be strong and maintain his health so he can do other stuff that's important to him, it's probably the way to go. And, you know, it's something that I reiterate and kind of I teach that like double barrel method with my clients in the gym. But obviously one other caveat to that is that, like, if you're at a commercial gym or like a gym, don't take up like the deadlift platform.
Yeah. It's not working.
And a bench.
It's not working.
So it doesn't work that well there. You know, like if you're in your garage or if you're in a private gym, that's quiet, like mine, for the most part, outside of when the coaching is going on, like you can do it. But yeah, if you're at, you know, Lifetime Fitness or you're at Crunch Fitness and it's packed, don't try and do that method unless you're sticking to one rack, which you can squat on the inside, but even then you're using two barbells and stuff and a platform and stuff. So be careful with that, but which is why, like, just get a garage gym, you cheap bastards. Then you have no excuse.
Definitely. So. Definitely. I mean, there are ways to cut corners as well. I don't know how you might feel about this, but maybe if you're benching, you can bring a heavy ass dumbbell beside you, start doing rows in between your sets of bench.
That's a real possibility. Mm-hmm. Especially like do your rows on your, while you're warming up for your top sets of bench.
Right? Exactly.
If you don't do your heavy rows between your top sets, because then how efficient really are you being? Probably not much.
Yeah.
Because then you're like taking time between. But you know, that's why it's really that whole like warm up for the next lift while you're doing your working sets of the lift before works so well, because you're not fatiguing yourself and you're not taking extra time.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think the whole crux of the story here is when the goalpost shifts, have a plan even if it is just the minimum amount that you can fit in, and know that doing the minimum amount is still good. And it's still better than you just Olaying lifting and Olaying strength training altogether because you think you can't follow an actual program. Prioritize the compounds and put some butter on your rice in spite of Kyle.
I just cringed. Maybe if you're bulking, but
maybe if you're bulking. Hey, we were talking about efficiency, right?
Yeah.
Carbs all together, baby. All right.
Okay, take care, everybody.